and start in. I'm going to read the agenda item, and then we have some instructions here that I want to go through real quickly as well. So at this time, this is the fifth reading and deliberations on the ordinance number PA 1289 in the matter of adopting a revised chapter 14 organization annexation policies, policy one for the Florence Realization 2020 comprehensive plan is applicable within the urban growth boundary outside Florence city limits. And we have both Mark Rust and Matt Laird from staff is here. And so before we move into that, I'm just going to look at the board right now and ask if there's any disclosure of ex parte contacts and, as we move through the proceeding. Start with Commissioner Sorensen.
I have none.
Mr. Bozovich?
I have none.
I have none. Mr. Handy?
None.
Commissioner Stewart?
None.
Okay. So then we will then move to Mark. Do I send it to you? And then we'll have a staff report before we go through the start the public hearing.
Sure. Thank you, Chair Lichten and Commissioners. I am Mark Rust, for the record, planner with Lane County. And I want to just go through a couple things that I've set on the table today and in front of all of the commissioners, and also made handouts available to the public on the back table. I also want to point out that there's a sign-up sheet for people to sign up that want to speak at the back table. One of the items I placed in front of you is an email correspondence from Dorothy McGuire I received last Thursday, August 9th, in regard to this proceeding. So that's being entered into the record. And there's some question about another handout. It says City of Florence across the top, and then it says policy regulating future annexations. This is a document that we, Lane County, put together. There's actually a press release this morning with these same items in them. So these are statements that the Lane County, not the City of Florence, is proposing as just kind of to summarize some of the talking points today. The last one listed on this sheet, it says the proposed annexation policy would require a public hearing by the Board of Health for health hazard abatement annexation. That should really be clarified as well. The Board of Health, this body, meeting as the Board of Health met this morning, as you all know, that talked about requiring a public hearing as a policy that would be adopted in the Lane manual, that the board will consider at a later date. But the Board of Health today sent the recommendation to staff to bring that policy forward. So I don't want there to be any question about that this is a policy that is proposed today or as part of the comp plan designation language that we're talking about today. But, so that's a little bit separate.
Could you speak a little louder, please?
Yeah.
We can't hear you.
Okay. And there's a sound guy in back. He's controlling some of the volume, so
I need a little more help.
Okay. I'll try and swallow the microphone. A couple of the other things that are listed on this quick fact sheet is that what we're talking about today is not an annexation. There is no actual proposed annexation being considered as part of this proceeding today. We're just talking about a policy to regulate future annexations. And then I'll let the rest of the statements on that sheet speak for themselves unless there's questions. The other thing I just wanted to point out, this is a continued hearing. I'm not going to go over all the background or history of how we've gotten here unless people feel that I need to clarify anything in that regard. But in the board memo that was issued for today, I have highlighted six different policies that have come out of our existing rural comprehensive plan that speak to what the county's role is in encouraging orderly development and expansion of city limits and that sort of thing. So I just wanted to highlight those. If there's questions about any of those policies, those are existing policies today that speak to how we would, I think they speak to what we're talking about today. So other than that, I'm going to leave it really brief and let the public speak and let you all hear from them. So unless there's questions, that's all I have.
Okay, thank you very much, Mark. And if we need to use our voices, I have two teenage boys, so if you need me to use that voice, I'm more than happy to do that. Anyway, so we'll begin the public hearing now, but one thing I'm going to ask is that those of you who are here today to testify at 1:30, I'm going to ask that you will please refrain from testifying tonight at 5:30. So this is one part of the hearing, and then we're going to continue it tonight at 5:30. So once we hear you here, I'm going to ask that please do not testify tonight as well, to make sure we allow other folks who don't have the time to be here at 1:30, but to want to be here at 5:30. They have the ability to do so. So I would appreciate that. So at this time, I'm going to just call in the order that I have received. This is my clock. I hope it works. So first of all, we have Daniel Stotter, and we have Jerry Christian on deck. And I'm going to ask you to state your name and record for the name and address for the record, and limit your comments to 3 minutes or less, please.
Thank you, members of the board. Daniel Stotter, 408 Southwest Monroe, Corvallis, Oregon. I'm here for the organization Citizens Against Forced Annexation. And while I fully understand that there's not any annexations on the table, I hope that you all understand that many of the people here are literally fighting for their ability to survive and live in Lane County based on the decision that you make today. In other words, you are going to either make it real easy, make it real difficult, or somewhere in between to annex their property by the policies that you set today. And they all understand that. They understand that you are setting policies that may mean that they will have to move to some other place because of what you do today. That's how important it is. Now, these people who don't live in Florence, they depend upon you as county decision makers. They live in the county lands. And as I said before, and I think my words were misinterpreted, this is a question of policy. This is not a question about law. The language that you adopted last time was not co-adopted. And all the policy issues that we're fighting out today are policy questions. There's not a single attorney who is saying that is illegal. The language that you have that Mr. Stotter's proposing today, the language that the city of Florence is proposing today, it's all about policy choice. So let's not distort that. The important thing is a policy choice of, do you want to make it easy for the city of Florence to annex? And the fact is, they have not been forthright with you in the past. And I don't mind not mincing words by telling you that three of the commissioners here know that the city of Florence, lied about saying there were health hazards to the aquifer system. And you heard from the author of the North Dunal Aquifer System. Sorry, mouthful. And he told you the language the city of Florence had suggested was a flat lie. They lied to you, okay? And they also told all these people, no forced annexations, read my lips. That was the mayor's language, and he lied. And now they are more than happy to move forward with the annexations. In that context, you need to understand that these people are depending upon you to make it so that they cannot have easy annexation. And I will say two things are absolutely needed to the language that you have suggested by staff. Number one, you need to keep the language for mandatory public hearings, even though it may be in the manual, because politics change. You all understand that. There can be shifts in politics. Put it in the comp plan. Make it so they have to have a public hearing, so you will not just get one side of the story on a phony health-based annexation attempt. You will hear from experts, and you will make informed decision-making. Put that language in the comp plan, not just in somewhere else. Number two, there is a real need to prevent these cherry stem annexations. And the bottom line, if I may, for 30 seconds, just say that the people who live directly adjacent to a road or right-of-way that is being annexed, they deserve to have a consent involvement in the decision-making process because they are directly affected. And that language that I've suggested to you in the last paragraph should be included so that people who live along right-of-ways that are being annexed, if they are property owners, they should have a role in the consent process. Thank you. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Great. Thank you very much. Next, we have Jerry Christian, followed by Bob Hirsch. And again, if you could state your name and address for the record, and limit your comments to 3 minutes or less, please.
Mr. Chairman, last name is Christine.
Oh, Christine, I'm sorry.
I know it's not good form to start out by correcting a chairman, but I took a chance.
That's how my wife did it this morning, so I'm good, so no problem.
That's good precedent.
Well,
first, I'd like to thank the board on behalf of our neighbors for coming to Florence, to giving us a chance to meet with you and to express our concerns to you eyeball to eyeball. Yeah, if I understand correctly, it's not a vote today on annexation. But forgive us for appearing to be a little cynical. And a commitment, a public commitment, that we would get a vote of affected landowners would be reassuring to us, to say the least. And the only other point I want to make with you is, I haven't talked to a neighbor about annexation. I've talked to quite a few of them because I'm on the committee. Not one that's in favor of this. So we don't fear a vote. If we have a up or down vote on this of the affected landowners, it'll go down in flames. So that's not a problem to vote. And that's the way this country was formed, I think. One man, one vote. We all get a chance to have our piece and say what's right or what we think is right or what's wrong. You know, that's a conservative point of view, and I'm not one of them. But people need to have to know that their opinion and certainly their vote counts. So give us a shot. We were promised a vote by the mayor, but you can guarantee it. So please give that some thought. If any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Thank you. Next we have Bob Hirsch, followed by, looks like Harlan Springer, I think is on deck. So Bob Hirsch.
On his way.
Okay.
I was in the queue.
We're patient.
Bob Hirsch, 5104 Woodlake Way here in Florence, and good afternoon. I don't have a canned spiel for you today, but what I will say is that there's a lot of people here that are really concerned about what's going to happen, and most of us have grown up with the idea that we get to kind of vote on things that happen in our neighborhood. So if someone wanted to put a bar next to my house, I think I'd be a little upset. So if someone wants to run a sewer line down my street, I'd probably be a little upset also. There's been some talk about policy versus legal issues here, and I know that Commissioner Bosevich has mentioned several times at these hearings that there's a legal ramification involved. I can't find any. I find no statutes. I find no case law. I find nothing that substantiates that there's been some legal extensions going on. So it's a policy issue. The people here don't want to be annexed without their consent. Simple as that. And I don't think any one of you would either. So please consider that. And thank you.
Thank you very much.
I could sing, but yes. It probably wouldn't be too.
So next we have Harlan Springer, and then looks like Peter Boyer on deck.
Hi, I'm Harlan Springer, 88525 Second Avenue, that's Hasita Beach. First, I also want to thank the commissioners for coming here and being involved in this process. Two quick things. One is I think we've made a lot of progress on getting public input and public movement on things like the health hazard abatement, moving away from the language about septic systems, and also we've made good progress on the island annexation issue. So with that spirit, I think the key thing is going to get down to, and it's already been referred to, and that's the consent issue. And the language that's written, that the last language I see on what was passed out, talks about majority of consents. Now, that would seem to indicate that we're going to get what we want, which is that we get to vote on it. But Oregon state law offers a lot of language about majority of consents, anything from triple majority to double majority to all those things. So what I would like to see is clarification on exactly what is meant by majority of consents and what kind of a majority is it going to take for people to agree to be annexed. Exactly what is that wording going to be? Double majority, triple majority, you know, whatever. What is it we're going to be able to defend here? Okay? Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much. So Peter Boyer.
Uh, My name is Peter Boyer. I live at 9749 Rotorwood Drive, Florence. I was in the police station at the conference room last time you had the meeting on this issue, and towards the end, Commissioner Bolsovich got a great laugh when he said that there's going to be no forced annexation at this time. And I think what was funny about it is that most everybody in the room knows that the city wants to force annexation as soon as they can get away with it. And it's up to you to decide whether or not they can do that. I believe that the proposals that Mr. Stoddard has offered gives us the tools to defend ourselves democratically. And the proposal that the city is offering you is a silver platter that will accommodate our collective heads. And I think those are the two basic choices. And I hope that you go with citizens of Lane County in giving us tools that we need to defend ourselves. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We have Linda.
I didn't write it very well.
And my apologies.
Linda Lee Charles.
Ah, that's it. So, very good. And then I have Richard, Doma on deck? Hopefully I said that right.
Dobson.
Okay, Dobson. Okay, I've been doing this for years and I still can't. Never mind.
I learned to write many years ago.
I too want to thank you for coming to beautiful Flowtown and letting us beg once more to defend us from forcible annexation. We're being told that we're paranoid to fear forcible annexation by the city of Florence if our commissioners allow this amendment. We're told our protection against forced annexation is a resolution passed by the city of Florence, their city council, saying they won't forcibly annex us. But we know a resolution is non-binding. If the city is sincere, there should be no objection to inserting a clause that protects us from forced annexation. The citizens of Florence have given away their right to vote on annexation. The power to annex resides in five people, the mayor and the city council. These are the same five people who, in times of budget shortfalls from the federal level to the wallet of ordinary people, got a $1 million federal grant to destroy old growth rhododendrons to build a bike path to nowhere to promote tourism. These are the same five people who tell developers they must petition for annexation to obtain permits. The only person we've been able to locate in the UGB who says he wants to be annexed is a local developer who has failed to keep his commitments to the county in previous developments. And if the only way he can get permits to develop is to volunteer for annexation, that's not voluntary, that's coercion. I'm just a paranoid old woman whose fears of being forcibly annexed have no basis in reality. There's a simple solution. The city of Florence can prove its sincerity by agreeing to a clause guaranteeing my right to vote on my being annexed. And if they really want to prove they're sincere, they can put it on the city ballot this November, asking the people of Florence if they want to continue giving this much power to five people. Thank you so much.
Great. Thank you very much. Perfect. So Richard Dobson, and then we have David Campbell on deck.
Well, bear with me. The only thing I can think about it came to my mind is, be it ever so humble, there's no place like home, and that means peace, happiness, and quite hopefully regulation to a minimum. And I see annexation would eventually lead to lots of regulations, and above all, it'd be expenses, you know, so we need to take that in consideration for everybody. And business would, encouraging businesses, small, preferably small businesses, would be a good source of income. And 20-some years ago, I decided to build here. I mean, in the what I call the jungle out there, grows so fast. And as far as rhododendrons go, you can't kill them. I mean, it's pretty hard. The more you trim them, the faster they grow. And so you learn that. But like I say, it's about peace, enjoying your property according to the edicts of the founding fathers. We need. And the more you, the freer you are, the more ambitious you are to be part of the community. And so, but when you fear taxes and all the things that would and be in, follow that, I mean, all these things have to be paid for, and labor costs a lot more than it used to, and it's slower too. So that's my, I have a little fear of. What's coming in the future, because I would have had, when I came here, I didn't want a whole lot, didn't want a palace or anything. I just wanted, I said, this is what I've worked for and this is what I want. But it's kind of, it's varying a little bit every year, you know, and I don't want to be fearful that I won't have that peace and that a log home can be called, just Lincoln's old cabin could have been called home to certain people. So thank you for your time. I hope I didn't sound like I, well, I hope that it's clear what I was trying to put forward. So thank you.
Thank you very much. That was great. Appreciate it. And we have David Campbell, and that David Campbell is actually the last person I have signed up. So if somebody else wants to testify, if you wouldn't mind just maybe going to the wall and maybe forming a line, and we'll try to write your names down as you come forward. So, Mr. Campbell?
Yeah, my name's David Campbell. I live at 4985 Gold Settle Court in Idlewood. There's a couple of things I wanted to get straightened out. Commissioner Bozovich mentioned them after the public meeting was closed. And one of them was the fact that they're not going to tear up Oceana in the way I described. I have a map and a legal document that was mailed to me and the residents in the neighborhood that says that the typical road section, Oceana Drive, Triton Court, Bear Run Road, will be 9 feet travel each direction, parking lane of 7 feet on each side, sidewalks of 5.5 feet, and stormwater swale varies. The distance will vary on each side of the road. That's more than double the 25-foot width of Oceana right now. So a lot of people are going to lose property. This is the document you sent me. This is where I got my information. They're also going to do that to Cloudcroft, except that's going to be a little bit different. They'll have 10 feet travel each way. And this print's too small to read the rest of it, but you guys have the document. And I wanted to get that part of it cleared up. The other one was this agreement about the gravity flow system. This is a really serious problem. The new development is going to require, we're going to be in a higher level. I'm at the lowest level. And in 1996, we had 3 feet of water on the street. It's called in here that it's a floodplain requirement related to a high water table. Well, 3 feet above the ground is a high water table. I call it a flood. That went clear from Gull Settle Court, clear down the end, and in the panhandles, it was even worse. That really upset me when I read this thing. There was no binding agreement. I have a letter that I sent to Commissioner Morrison at the time. This was in 2001 when the homeowners at that time supported Mr. Benedict. One of the county engineers made a presentation stated that permits should never have been granted to build homes in that known flood area. That was Oliver Snowden. I've asked for the minutes of that meeting, and I've never received them. I've never received any information from him, from anybody. And I've asked for them several times. After viewing the enclosed photos, and I still have the pictures, and hearing our concerns, including Mr. Benedict's presentation, the board agreed to issue Mr. Benedict permits required for a gravity feed flood control system at Mr. Benedict's expense. If he was issued permits, why weren't they completed? And why isn't that an agreement that he's forced to go ahead and comply with? His record of maintaining anything is dismal. It took me a year and a half, and with the help of Bill Flanor, to get Gulf Settle Court cleaned up his private lot. He was allowing commercial use of that area. There was one other issue.
That was the 3 minutes, so if you could wrap up.
I will.
Okay.
I just have to get to the page. I thought I'd have a table. And I suspect you've heard this before. This is Commissioner's Bozovich's email to me regarding the local access roads, LARS, and are outside of our maintenance stream. They are the responsibility of residents and homeowners associations. Since I've lived there, there's a sign that says, begin county maintenance. It's on Salt Air, approximately 100, 150 yards in from Rhododendron. And the county has maintained the roads, repaired cracks in the blacktop, filled in potholes, did tree trimming, etc. They surveyed the water swales not too long ago. So they do maintenance in Idlewood. The new phase three is not covered by that. I don't trust Mr. Benedict. He won't maintain it. The gravity flow system is not being maintained today. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So if you could come forward, state your name and address for the record, if you're ready.
I did sign a piece of paper that
well, let's...
I'll see if there's another sheet back.
Okay.
Okay. I'm Lola Simpson.
Oh, here's another, there's another sheet. Okay.
I'm not a next up either. Shall I go ahead?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm Lola Simpson. I live at 4782 Cloudcroft Lane in Florence. That's in Idlewood. And I want to present sort of the woman's point of view. What we're not looking at is that there are a number of senior citizens involved in this supposed not annexation. Many of them will have to move. They will not be able to afford the new city tax and the other things that the city will put upon us. Think about it. You're going to lose a lot of good citizens. What will replace them? At the moment, you have many volunteers. You have people who do not put children in schools. They drive carefully. They do not destroy the streets. They are an asset to the county, not only the city of Florence. You need to think carefully about what happens to these people if they are forced to move because of additional costs. One of the things that you also have to look at, we're talking about sewers. The people within Idlewood maintain their own streets. There are men that go out and fix the cracks. You can drive up and down all our streets, and they're beautiful. There is no garbage anywhere because the citizens pick it all up. In the process of possible change, you risk losing these good citizens. I think it's something to think about.
Thank you. So I've got the sheet here. So I have Leah Patton, Danny Matthews, Gordon Peterson, and Mark Tilton. So if Leah's ready, then we'll go to, from Leah, then Danny Matthews on deck. I think I said that right.
May please, I have some documents for you. Okay. Sorry, I didn't get them up here before the meeting.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. My name is Leah Patton. I live at 04699 North Jetty Road in Florence, Oregon. Thank you for agreeing with Commissioner Bozovich to hold this meeting here in Florence in front of the people, those with the yellow tags, who will be most affected by your actions here today. Commissioner Bozovich, recently you said that those of us who live in the North UGB would be better off if we agreed to the amendments currently proposed by the City of Florence. I think that means you believe that we should agree to have our right to consent, our right to vote on annexations, taken from us. Sir, I beg to differ with you. First, the city has already tried making that same argument to previous boards of commissioners. Fortunately, they didn't win on that. Secondly, quite some time ago, the city did pass a resolution saying it wouldn't force annexations. but they have refused to put that in the form of an ordinance, and they refuse to put it in the form of the 2020 plan, where it would be assured. Indeed, if the city were serious about not forcing annexations, the city would put those precise words in the comp plan, yet they steadfastly refuse to do so. Third, I believe you also said there have been no recent attempts to force annexations. I'm sure that's what the city of Florence told you. But on that point, I must also dissent. In the packet I gave you, I draw your attention to the second page, where under item number 7, it says rhododendron trailer park septic issues. Here at the coast, last winter's storms caused a large man-made pond to overflow and flood neighboring property. The resident whose property was being flooded, in turn, dumped the excess water downhill onto the rhododendron trailer park drain field. Obviously, the excess water flooded the trailer park septic system. Fortunately, local construction experts were able to work several days and re-divert the excess waters to the alternate drain field and thereby solve the problem. Now, here is the caveat. The city, conveniently, in my estimation, forgot to inform the DEQ of the facts. Instead, the city claimed failed septic and close proximity within 500 feet to the city sewer and attempted to force the property owners to annex to the city. Annexation costs, a cool $500,000. The people would have been bankrupt and had to close the park. When asked pertinent questions about the situation, city personnel rudely and in no uncertain terms told a local businessman that he could just leave the premises. So much for the claim that the city is trying to work with people. Commissioner Lycan, at the last meeting here in Florence, I recall you telling the city that we in the UGB had moved quite a distance in these negotiations, but the city of Florence hadn't moved an inch. I also remember you telling the city that it was going to have to move on this issue. Now, after all this time, in spite of your admonition, the city of Florence has announced it will not budge even a fraction of an inch. Unfortunately, you've been treated to the type of cooperation that we get from the city. We are your constituents too, commissioners, even though we are on this side of the Coast Range. You are our sole representatives. We implore you to preserve one of our basic rights in this country, our right to consent. We strongly support the wording from Land Use Attorney Dan Stoddard, and we respectfully request that you accept his proposed amendment. Thank you for your time, thank you for listening, thank you for being here.
Great, thank you very much. Next we have Danny Matthews, and then we have Gordon Peterson on deck.
My name is Danny Matthews, and my address is 1882 Naples North, Kaiser, Oregon. And I'm here out of concern for fellow landowners and folks that live down here who are kind of up against a bad situation. I have two questions. Are questions legal this time? Okay, I'm going to give it a go. One of them is the island annexation. Any land along the cherry stem of our last annexation would not be an island. Therefore, it wouldn't be protected from annexation, as I see it. Do you see it that way as well? Does that make sense? Any developments along the rhododendron leading up to Fawn Ridge, west and east, any that are contiguous to rhododendron would not be islands. Is that right?
Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't you, if you would ask the questions, we'll have Mr. Rust write them down, and then when we're finished with the public hearing,
great.
And it may be later this evening after when we go into the deliberation phase at 5:30.
Okay.
And we may be able to get your answers then, if you're okay with that.
I'm okay with that. The other question I had was what kind of septic systems are acceptable to the county if anybody who is in the urban growth boundary needs to replace their septic system? what kind are acceptable to the county and what kind are acceptable to the city, so they would be able to replace their septic systems. Okay.
Mr. Russ, got those? Okay.
That's all, thanks.
Okay, great, thank you very much. So next we have Gordon Peterson and we have Mark Tilton. So we don't have takers. Did you? Okay.
My name is Mark Tilton. I live at 87868 Limpet Lane in Florence. That's outside of the city limits, but within the urban growth boundary. I guess I have a very different look at this. As far as anyone who's concerned about their own property being annexed, I feel we have very good protections through state statute. You will be involved in a decision that involves the annexation of your own property. That is absolutely your right under state law. So I am not concerned about that. I'm not a proponent or an opponent of annexation. If it is proposed at some point in the future, I'd like to know what the costs are and what the benefits are. But at this time, I feel protected by state law. Now, what's before you tonight, if I understand it correctly, is whether there should be some type of a vote for annexation of a right-of-way, whether the people adjacent to that should be able to vote on that, even though their property is not being annexed. I agree with the conclusion in your staff report that would impede the orderly, efficient, and cost-effective Oregon land use planning process. I think one of the reasons a lot of people move to Oregon is actually a direct result of the Oregon land use planning process. We can have relatively compact cities, we can have family farmlands and forest lands immediately adjacent to our cities. My wife and I bought our property 8 years ago, and I know when we signed our closing documents, there was a very clearly understandable paragraph in there that informed us that our property was within the urban growth boundary, and at some point in the future, we should expect that it would be annexed to the city of Florence. And I assume that has been in everybody's closing papers for a decade or two. So if somebody is completely against annexation and they bought their home within the last 10 or 15 years, I'd have to wonder, why did you buy property within the urban growth boundary? But I guess in summary, I'd like to say I really do want to see you make a decision on this today. As a Lane County taxpayer, I really don't want you spending any more time or money on this issue. I think you've done a good job. You've, at least for some people, you've satisfied their concerns. And I know there's some real serious county issues like public safety to work on, and I would encourage you to move on. Close this out. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So that's who I have signed up. Is there anybody else wishing to speak to the board? Okay, seeing none, then what we'll do then is on the public hearing, we will have the additional public hearing beginning at 5:30 tonight. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask if there's any questions that the board has for staff before we go into the hearing tonight. Any questions that you'd like to have answered by staff? Mr. Stewart?
Mr. Chair, there was a couple questions asked. I don't know if staff has the ability to answer them now, but it might be nice. Some people may not be able to return, so that would allow staff to address those if possible.
And I'm happy to address some of the questions that were talked about and maybe make a couple other just comments or observations as well. So, again, for the record, Mark Rust, Lane County. The two specific questions that were just asked by Ms. Danny Matthews, one is in regard to island annexation. And I believe her question really is, so for the properties along, for the most recent Fawn Ridge annexation, are the properties along the Rhododendron Drive considered islands? So could those be annexed under the island annexation provisions? And I think it was actually Commissioner Bozovich that brought this point up at one of the previous public hearings. And it's actually different for the properties along Rhododendron that are on the west side of Rhododendron versus the properties that are along the east side of Rhododendron. And because the city limits now go all the way to Driftwood Shores and run into basically the state boundary along the ocean, all of the area on the, it's my understanding that all of the area on the west side of Rhododendron between the city limits to the south and then to Driftwood Shores could technically be considered an island today under those provisions and theoretically could be annexed by the city today utilizing the policy that's currently still in place that would allow them to use island annexation. They're proposing to give up that tool that's allowed in state law. So, but the properties on the east side of Rhododendron, it's my understanding that those would not be considered islands. So those could not be annexed today under the island annexation policy. So I hope that addresses that question. The second question, as I understood it, was the question was what kind of septic systems are acceptable to the county for replacement? And I believe it's for the residents that are currently outside the city limits, inside the urban growth boundary. And a second part to that question was also what would be acceptable to the city as well. So there's a couple things going on there. And one is it's not going to be a specific answer because it's a case-by-case situation. And you know, our county sanitarian has to determine what kind of system could be replaced. A lot of that depends on the size of the property that the system and the dwelling or whatever the other structures are on the property, that what land is available for replacement and what the soil types of the land is that is available. Oftentimes, and I don't know how far back this dates, but typically a reserve area would have been determined when the initial septic system was put in. So if and when it does fail, there's already a predetermined area for the replacement drain field. Oftentimes, I've seen a number of examples where those replacement drain field areas are designated and they're much smaller than the standard drain field system. So they may only be large enough for what's referred to, I think, as a sand filter system. I'm definitely not the expert on septic systems. I do have a number of conversations with our county sanitarian in this regard. The other part of that, so again, it is a case-by-case determination based on soils and the size of the areas. Some other things that come into play with that is that even if a property is on a septic within a city limits, it's my understanding the county sanitarian and the county would still have jurisdiction over approving those septic systems. The city doesn't necessarily then start approving or reviewing the septic system replacements or fixes on those systems if they need a repair just because they're in a city. It's still the county. Also, there's some policy, and I hope I can summarize it close to accurate, and that is I believe that if a property is within 300 feet of a existing sanitary sewer line, a city sanitary sewer line, that if their system fails and it's, I think the word is accessible, or it's if the line, the existing sewer line can take, is physically accessible from the property, they're required to hook into that sewer line if they're within 300 feet. So that may come into play as well, depending on where a nearest sewer line is. So those, I hope, are answers to those two questions specifically. There are a number of other things I jotted down. We could either talk a little bit now, or I could answer other questions from the commissioners, or wait till this evening. So,
okay, Commissioner Stewart, you had a follow-up?
Yeah. When you were explaining the your definition of the island between rhododendron and the ocean to the west. So under the current comp plan that exists today, the city would be able to annex that, is that correct? And if the board adopts the comp plan and they become coterminous or the same, and that option is removed from the city, is that correct?
So that is correct. Because the county and the city have not adopted the same policy today, basically the policy that's in place today is the old City of Florence policy that the county did co-adopt at some long past time. And that policy is a very simple policy. It basically allows the city to use any annexation allowed by state law. One of those tools that's allowed by state law today is the island annexation provision. So the city has proposed then with this new language you're considering today to remove that as an opportunity for them to utilize that tool. So it would remove that opportunity for them.
So, may I ask? Well, sure. So to go just a little further, on the new comp plan that's being proposed that we're considering, they have removed the ability to do island annexations. And it was also mentioned, which I believe is correct, that the city has said that there will be no forced annexations, but that's by resolution. That's not in the comp plan. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And is that something that they could choose to put in the comp plan, or is that in conflict? I mean, is that something legally that could be inserted, or is that something that you can't bind future boards to? Do you have a response to that?
Well, and I have kind of a trouble getting my head around exactly what people mean when they say forced annexation, because it again, there's about a half a dozen different types of annexations that can occur in state law that a city can use. And even if I'm going to use kind of an extreme example, but even in the case where there's absolute voter and voter approved annexation where the whole city gets to vote on whether an annexation occurs or not, and I think that's City of Corvallis has that today, and maybe the City of Oregon City, even if it's a 55-45% vote to annex, 45% of the people are going to be unhappy because they didn't want to be annexed. So in that case, 45% of the people are still being forced to be annexed, even though they got to vote on it. So I know that's kind of an extreme example, but to me, there's not a clear delineation on when there's a forced annexation or not. So, for instance, one of the gentlemen that just testified talked about the difference between somebody that wants to annex their property or a whole group of properties comes forward. And the way state law is laid out is that if they don't have a majority of consents within that group of properties that want to annex, it has to go to a vote. That's whether it's the double majority or the triple majority provisions that are in state law. If they don't have a majority of consents, it has to go to a vote. Otherwise, they don't get it. And so, but then there's the situation that's being proposed by Mr. Stoddard that if there's the properties along a right-of-way that's proposed to be annexed, that there's a majority of consents along there. So those people aren't being forced to be annexed. They're just being forced to live along a street that's being annexed, I guess. So I don't know how it comes into play there. Anyway, it's a long-winded way of not answering your question directly, because I don't have a clean answer, basically. So.
Okay. Any other questions? No, sir. And we need to ask the board the questions, and then we'll be, after this, recessing, and then coming back at 5:30. So any other questions on the board? Commissioner Sorensen?
Clarification. The agenda says 5. So
five. My apologies.
Okay, we've gone back and forth. 5:30.
Yeah, 5 o'clock.
So 5 o'clock, right,
yes.
Here.
Okay. Any other questions? Commissioner Bozovich?
Thank you. I just want to go back to the question about septic systems and have people go to the correct Oregon administrative rules that apply here. People want to write this down. It's OAR 340-071 2022-0160 that particularly applies in the rhododendron trailer park issue. Basically, it says that you can't make a major repair to a septic system when there is a sewer system that is feasible to hook up to and legally available. And there's a letter from DEQ basically telling the city of Florence that situation. And had the city of Florence wished to pursue this to the ends, could have forced the rhododendron trailer park to hook up to sewer, and chose not to pursue it to the ends and allow the rhododendron trailer park just to make repairs, even though it is feasible they could have hooked up to the city sewer system and it was legally available upon annexation, which is where the annexation came in. They chose not to pursue it and allowed Gary Rose and Leisure Excavating to fix the existing system, even though the OAR would have supported them forcing the trailer park to annex. So I think the story sometimes does not quite meet the actual happenings here. I've got the letter from DEQ in front of me. I've got the OAR in front of me. They could have forced the trailer park to annex and did not. So yes, it did come up on the city's agenda and they did discuss it at city council. But it wasn't because they were trying to force them. It's because there was a concern of a large development with a failing septic system, possibly, within the Dunal Aquifer area, which we all know is a large concern for everybody, because it's the sole source of drinking water for both the Heceta Water District and the City of Florence. So I just wanted to clarify that a little bit and give the actual OAR, if you want to look it up, and understand the background behind what's allowable under Oregon law relative to septic system replacements. That also has that 300-foot for residential systems in there.
Okay, any other questions? Commissioner Handy?
Thank you, and I appreciate everyone coming out today to not only speak to us, but those who are here to listen. We are certainly better off when you're all involved in our community, and I appreciate that we're having these public hearings and that we're having them out here. Also, being a longtime resident and business owner in the River Road Santa Clara area of Eugene, I understand all too well these issues around annexation and the various shenanigans that can go on. So you're absolutely right. We are your elected officials who can look after you, and I look forward to doing that. I also want to acknowledge the person who testified, who talked about one man, one vote. I appreciate that sentiment, and I think our country is much better off since we have now finally have women voting too. So I appreciate that we have one man and one woman voting, and I appreciate all your involvement there. Lastly, I also want to ask our staff to perhaps get together with Mr. Stotter and make sure that we have a complete understanding tonight around his reference to the language in the last paragraph of what he submitted, so that we all have a copy of that language, so that that can be part of our discussion tonight and we're clear on what that language is that he referred to when possible deliberations happen tonight. Thank you.
Okay, very good. Any other questions? Mr. Russ, I'm going to ask that if you could a clarification for me. So I actually think it was 2009 legislative session, I think. Maybe Commissioner Stewart can remember this one too, or Commissioner Sorensen, but I believe that is when the legislature actually passed, in a sense, a law to dissolve the Boundary Commission here in Lane County. I think it was the 09 session, I believe. So if you could clarify prior to the 09, so when the Boundary Commission was actually involved, first of all, it was my experience, for folks who don't know, I served as mayor for 10 years in Springfield. And so it's my experience that the city would put together we would, in a sense, put together an annexation agreement but our vote was not binding. Our vote was nothing more than referral to the Boundary Commission, who I believe was the final say before the Boundary Commission was dissolved. So I'd like to clarify that, but also if you could clarify then when there's annexations that occur within Lane County, within cities, exactly what is the Board of Commissioners' role? Because it's, it would be my view that we would then fill that void that the Boundary Commission is no longer involved in. So even if there's a annexation involved here by the city, I believe the board then would have to co-adopt the annexation. But if you could clarify that, I would appreciate that before we go into deliberation tonight.
Okay.
All right.
I can do that now, partially.
Okay. Or? If you can partially do it or all of it, that'd be great.
Well, and so it's before my time with the county as well that the Boundary Commission was dissolved, so I don't know exactly whether or not to the question of if they were the final say or not, but in terms of today and the board's role of for an annexation, the Lane County has the jurisdiction over the area outside a city limit within an urban growth boundary. So when a city proposes to annex a portion of that territory, it's proposing to take some territory of the county. So the board is the final say on allowing a city to incorporate some of that county territory.
I think that's important to note, because when we incorporate all of this, and if we decided to a final deliberation tonight, I'm not sure we'll get to that. But I just wanted to clarify that's. From a policy standpoint, that's what we have to be, what we eventually may be looking at, is that Lane County does have a final say, is I believe that's the way it is in other communities around the state. Like I said, I think Lane County was the final county with any sort of boundary commission. Every other county, every other city in the state had its own annexation policy, and then they had forwarded it to their county board for final approval. I believe that's, get a definite clarification on that, I think would be very important as we go through this process.
Okay.
All right. So anything else from the board? All right, seeing none, then we're going to recess until 5 p.m. And if you want to come back out again, that would be great. But again, I'm going to ask those of you who did testify, I'm going to ask you to refrain from testifying tonight and allow other folks to have that same opportunity. Thank you.